Good. Thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh. Let's look back in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and down in verses 3 through 5 again. And I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to dissect this a little bit as we go. The Bible says here, and not only so, but it says, when we glory in tribulations. So a tribulation, a hurt, if you would please, something that troubles you. The Bible says also, it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And it says in patience, experience, and experience, hope. Now watch it, if you would please, in chronological order. Then it goes on here and it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All right, so here we have the word patience. I looked it up in the American Dictionary of English Language, and here's what it says as it defines the word patient as having the quality of enduring evils without murmuring or fretfulness. Then it says sustaining, and the word there, you need to make a correction there, afflictions, not affections, but afflictions of body or mind with fortitude. It says calmness or Christian submission to the divine will of God. All right? And so when things come against you, you could call that your personal tribulation. You could call that your personal challenge, if you will. Well, what might some of those things be? Well, a broken arm. A broken arm. That can increase your patience because that is going to put you in an area of having a personal trial, a personal test, a personal affliction, a personal tribulation, if you will. Oh, how about a broken heart? A broken heart. A broken heart, God can use that to be able to teach us patience. How about somebody has a broken promise? Somebody promised them to do something, and they've not yet fulfilled it when they promised to be able to do it. That could increase your patience. How about a financial struggle? A financial struggle, that could increase your patience. How about negative people? Negative people. Every time they get around you, they drain you. Well, that could increase your patience. How about a lying friend? A lying friend. Every time they get around you, they lie about something. They don't tell you the truth. All right? That could increase your patience. How about a stubborn spouse? A stubborn spouse. That could. Oh, now, be careful, Brother Palmore. There's sometimes you should agree, and there's sometimes you should just be quiet. But that could increase your patience. How about a critical friend? A critical friend. They always are criticizing you. That can increase your patience. How about a whimpering husband? A whimpering husband. You know, they're always whining. They whine about this, whine about that, whine about the other. That could increase your patience. How about a nagging wife? No, don't say nothing. Don't you say nothing. All right. That could increase your patience. How about a nosy mother-in-law? A nosy mother-in-law. That could increase your patience. How about defeated plans? Defeated plans. That could increase your patience. How about some physical handicap or limitation? That could increase your patience. Now, here's what the Bible teaches, that through patience, we gain something. We gain something. We gain, if you would please, patience through tribulation. But through patience, the Bible talks about we gain experience. We gain experience. Now, if ever you've gone through a tribulation time, one of the ways that God teaches you patience is the fact that you're going to gain experience from that, no matter what it is, whether it's the broken arm or a broken heart or whatever. When you're going through a time where it is a personal tribulation, it's a personal trial, what happens during that time is it's going to, through that experience, if you let God work the way God wants to work, here's what's going to happen. God is going to give you and be able to help you to understand patience, all right? So that experience, if you will do this. Because we have that which is a tribulation, we gain experience. And that experience helps us to gain hope. In other words, I've learned something experientially through that tribulation. Now, because I've learned something, I have hope that the next time it comes around, I can face it differently. I can handle it differently. I have a better hope.
I've learned some lessons, okay? I don't have to retrace it. I don't have to fail the test again, all right? And so because of a tribulation, I learn experience. Because of the experience, now I have hope, all right? But then that hope produces something. The Bible talks about how that hope produces boldness. So now I can emphatically stand on my own two feet saying, okay, if it ever comes again, I know exactly how to handle it. And because I have hope, now I can stand with boldness to be able, okay, you're out soul winning. You knock on the door and somebody asks you a Bible question and you stumble and you stammer and you fall. And it's like you just cannot come up with an answer. You're brain dead. You've never been brain dead before, but at that very minute in time, you are brain dead. You don't know what to say. You stammer and you stutter and you just can't get it out. All right. 9 times out of 10, that's an embarrassing moment to you. 9 times out of 10, you're going to say, I'm going to go home and I'm going to study up on this so that if that ever happens again, I can be able to give the right example. Now, because you have studied it out, now you've got hope, and next time it comes around, you're going to have boldness in your stand, whether it's out witnessing, whether studying a Bible doctrine, or whether it is in a personal relationship. You will have boldness as to being able to know what to do. Now, I've listed a couple of things I want us to consider tonight when it comes to this matter of practicing patience. Statement number one, when you do well and suffer for it, when you do well and suffer for it, be patient. When you do well and suffer for it, be patient. You say, I don't understand. I don't understand how come I'm going through a tribulation. I've done nothing wrong. I understand why I'm going through a tribulation, because I've lived a clean life. I've tried to serve Christ. I've tried to put God first in my life. I don't understand why I'm going through this trial, this trouble, this terrible time, okay? Well, here's what we understand. We do understand this, that when you do well and you suffer for it, you're still supposed to be patient. You're still supposed to be patient. You might not understand everything, but you're still supposed to be patient. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 20, the Bible says, for what glory is it if, now watch it now, when you're buffeted for your faults. Now, he's talking about your faults. In other words, you did something and you deserved to be buffeted. You deserve to go through some troubles. You did something and you're being buffeted for your faults. He said, now, what glory is it if you're buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently? But if, now watch the comparison, but if when you do well, so here's a person doing well. They've not done anything to be buffeted for their faults, because it's not the reason that they're going through this buffeting or this tribulation. He said, but if you do well, he says, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable, listen to it now, with God. So he's saying this. He said, all right, it's understandable that if you do something wrong and you're buffeted for your faults. In other words, you did something wrong and trouble comes. He said, and you're patient through that. He said, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. I mean, after all, you deserve to be buffeted, and you were patient through it, and so that's no big deal. He said, but if you're doing well, in other words, you're not doing something that's a fault, you're doing well. And he said, you're buffeted for it. He said, now, if you'll simply be patient for that, that's acceptable to me, God says. That you did well. You did well. So even though you go through times where you love God, you're serving God, and it seems like that you're doing everything that you know to do that is pleasant and right before God, and then all of a sudden you get hit broadside, you get buffeted, even though you did nothing wrong, you get buffeted. He said, I'm going to tell you something, that same person that got buffeted for their faults, and you're buffeted now when you have no faults, he said, you do well if you're just patient. So when all of a sudden you're going about, you're doing everything that you know to do, can I tell you, there may be some times when you are buffeted, though you have no faults to speak of, you have no faults. But when you are buffeted, he said, look, he said, it's acceptable to God, All right, so something happens, and I can't figure it out. I just cannot figure it out for the life of me. I just can't figure it out. I don't understand why I'm going through this tribulation. I just can't figure it out. I don't know why I'm going through this tribulation, because after all, I did nothing wrong. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to do the very best I can, and I just can't figure it out. Oh, that's okay. Now, listen to me now. You don't have to figure it out. Your responsibility is to be patient with it, whether you figure it out or not. Your responsibility is to trust God, whether you figure it out or not. Okay? You may never figure it out this side of heaven. There is going to be some things that's a mystery to you on this side of heaven. You won't get the answers till you go to heaven. All right? And so God's saying here that when you do well, when you suffer and you take it patiently and you accept it, he said, this is acceptable unto God. He says, you do well. Now, by the way, listen, when you are buffeted and you do nothing wrong, are you listening to me now? You're supposed to practice patience, but it does cost you something. Let me give you a couple illustrations. A needy family will suffer. What's that suffering? Well, it cost them something, a needy family. But they're supposed to be patient even though they're a needy family. Okay, what about this? What about a bus family? Somebody rides their bus on the poorer side of life, and they ride our bus, okay? And they don't understand it. How come my friends have money? I don't have no money. How come my friends can buy things? I can't afford to buy things. Well, why is it that certain people are born into certain calibers of families when I was born into this family? All right. Now, wait a minute. So they need to learn, as well as others, to be patient. Okay. Oh, here's a person who goes through a trial. Oh, it might be a physical trial. And they have to learn to be patient. Here's a person that goes through mental duress. They have to learn to be patient. Here's a person that goes through a trial with a relationship. They have to learn to be patient. Here's a person goes through a trial with their vehicle. They've done nothing wrong, but they go through a trial with their vehicle. God says, wait a minute. Don't jump. Just be patient. You know, the worst thing you could ever do in your life is when all of a sudden you go through a trial in your life as you jerk the wheel, going by your feelings, doing something that you think is the right thing to do when you're not patient to let God work it out. Statement number one, okay? When you're doing well and you suffer for it, be patient. Statement number two, when you're in a hurry and you don't have much time to hear God's word, be patient. When you're in a hurry and you don't have much time to hear God's word, be patient. Be patient. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, especially because he says, I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among, it says, the Jews. Wherefore, he says, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Now, here is that which is Paul. Paul is giving a gospel witness to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, very busy person, if you will, he's trying to give him, if you would please, encouragement. He's trying to say, look, I appreciate you. I mean, you are excellent in knowing all the customs. You're excellent in knowing this. You're an expert in these things. He said, what I want you to do is just be patient and hear me. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to give him the word of God. Here's what I find out. People that are going through trials, if you're not careful, people that are going through trials are hasty. I got to get my car fixed. I've got to get it fixed. I've got to get it fixed right now. So you run to the first mechanic, which is not always the best thing to do. Maybe you ought to be patient and shop around to find out who is the best mechanic. Oh, I've got to invest that money right now. I've got to. The stock market is down. I've got to do it. Now's a buyer's market, and so I've got to do it. Oh, I heard about this stock, and I'm going to put extra amount of money in this stock because when the stock market goes back up, I'm going to be a multimillionaire. All right, can I tell you, be patient. Research the matter. Well, you know, I've not been feeling good, and so I heard that if I take this type of medicine, that it'll make me feel better. Ooh, Be patient. Allow somebody to help you. Search out the matter. Be patient. Well, I heard that my friend said this about me, and so therefore, be patient. Just be patient. Don't be in a hurry. Allow God to speak to your heart. Well, I need money, and so I'm going to skip church. I need more money than I do that teaching of the Bible. You better be patient. You're about to make a mistake. You be patient. You let God teach you through the Bible. Let God show you things through the Bible that can be a help. The Bible always will be a help, and the Word of God will always be better than what you think that you should do. Well, I've got a child, and I think I ought to do this in rearing that child. Well, be patient now. Be patient. Learn what you should do first before you step out and make a mistake in rearing that child. Okay, I'm saying this. When is it that we should execute patience? Well, we should do that when we do well and we suffer for it. When should we execute patience? Well, we should do that when we're in a hurry and we don't have much time to hear the Word of God. Sometimes you can be in a hurry and your life is so busy that you do not listen to the preacher or maybe a Sunday school teacher as they try to expound the Word of God. You ever do this? You ever do this? You ever do this? You ever come to church and you got trouble on your mind? Now, don't raise your hand about this. You ever come to church and you have trouble on your mind, and so because you have trouble on your mind, all you do is think about the trouble on your mind the whole time you're in church. Now, what does that prohibit? That prohibits the Word of God from ministering to your heart and helping you to be able to find a biblical solution. Okay? So be patient. Be patient. Okay? Allow God to be able to speak to you. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost, almost. Okay? Now, he may have not even gotten to almost had he not at least listened a little bit. I don't know how many times I've gone through the plan of salvation with people, and they don't use Bible terminologies like Agrippa or putting it in that which is the stature of speech that he gave to Paul, but they do say this. They say, "Almost thou persuadest me." Okay, but at least they got the Word of God in them. Yeah. The key is getting the Word of God in. See, the Holy Spirit needs a tool to work with you. The only tool the Holy Spirit has to be able to work with you in full power is the Word of God. In full power. Now, he can use other things, but in full power. The only tool that he can use to be able to effectively work in you and change you is the Word of God. Every time you come to church, God, if you're looking, will teach you something. Every time you come to church. Oh, you say, but it might just be a little thing. But that little thing's what you need. Yeah. You know what? I've said this often, that the Scripture is like vitamins. Like vitamins. You put them in, you put them in, you put them in. And you don't see any Superman or Superwoman produced by what you put in. But in the time of need, you find out you're stronger. That's like the Word of God. You put it in, you put it in, you put it in through your Bible reading, or through somebody teaching or somebody preaching. All right? You put it in, you put it in, you put it in. And as you're talking to somebody or you're counseling somebody or you're receiving counsel yourself from the Word of God, all of a sudden now, the Holy Spirit uses that tool, that Word of God, and brings it back to your remembrance. That's what God does. Okay? I remember years ago when I was a pastor up in Tennessee, a fellow by the name of Roy Westmoreland. He was in his 80s then. He was the pastor where his son, Ron, became the pastor years ago in Walls, Mississippi. And it's about two and a half hours from our church. And he called me up. He said, "Now, Brother Wells," he said, "I'd like for you to come down and preach in our college chapel." And I said, "Okay, let's get a date." So we got a date. And so I went down to preach in their college chapel. And then he asked me to teach two classes, psychology classes, if you will, and counseling classes, and to the college students. And so, and then he said, could you come down on a regular basis? And I said, no, I can't come on a regular basis unless you're just talking like once a month. And he said, if you can come once a month, I'll get whatever I can take. And so about once a month or so, I had the privilege to be able to do that. Sometimes I'd have to skip a month or whatever. I'd go and I'd teach and things of that nature. Now, here's what I learned from him. A seasoned man, older man, in his 80s, and I had the privilege to pick his brain. I made him a deal. I said, if I spend 2 hours speaking in your college, then I would spend at least an hour with you just asking you questions in your office. That'd be a good trade-off. And so why don't you allow me to be able, you've been in the ministry a long time, and you've got a lot of wisdom. You've built many buildings, and you've got a good Bible college. And so here's what I want you to do. Allow me to spend time with you. So every time that I'll go down, Brother Roy at Westmoreland, he would take his time, and I'd ask him questions. I'd always have my questions in a row, and I'd spend an hour with him, older man of God, well-versed in the Bible, well-versed in biblical counseling, etc. And so I just spend a time with him just asking question upon question upon question upon question upon question upon question. That was more valuable to me than getting money because he had wisdom that was worth gold. Now, may I say this? May I say I was patient and I wasn't in a hurry. Sometimes he would take a long time answering a question, but I took my time waiting and listening for that golden answer to come to the surface where I could be able to reap that in my life. Now, but I wasn't in a hurry. Sometimes the Word of God goes in, if you will, and it goes down deep, and it's like a plant, but it doesn't begin to blossom until there is the time of blossoming. Young people, listen to me. You're not wasting your time coming to church, because one day you're going to be older. One day you won't be single anymore. One day you'll be married. One day, possibly, you'll have children. One day, if you live long enough, you might have grandchildren, or yea, even great-grandchildren, or great-great-grandchildren. I know some that's that way. They got married when they were 3, but I know some that's that way. Now, may I say this? Here's the thing. What you're putting in right now, it's different than you going to a university and learning something, and then you have to be able to retain it with the power of your own mind. No, no, no. You have a helper. The Bible talks about that helper. He's a paraclete. That means he walks beside you. He's your mentor. He's your tutor. That's the Holy Spirit. So here's what happens. When you take in the Word of God, now there is two of you that's helping to retain it. There's your personal mind, your heart, if you will. All right, and then there's the Holy Spirit of God that says, okay, you received it well in there, and I'll help you to remember. I'll help you to remember. Now, he won't help you to remember who won the last baseball game. He won't. He won't help you to remember, if you will please, what flight you're supposed to be on when you arrive at the airport and you forgot your ticket. He won't help you with that. But he will help you with the Word of God. He'll bring it back to your remembrance. That tool, if you will. All right? So the Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 7, the Bible says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Okay? Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Now, why? Listen to this statement. Statement number next. I said statement number one, we do well when you do well and suffer for it, then you be patient. I said statement number two, when you're in a hurry and you don't have much time to hear the Word of God, Be patient. Statement number three, wait for the Lord to answer your prayers. Wait for the Lord to answer your prayers. Oh, I cannot emphasize this more than needed. Wait for the Lord to answer your prayers. Be patient. Listen to it. Psalm 37, I began to read a moment ago in verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way. Because of the man that bringeth, watch it now, wicked devices to pass. Emphasis again in Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently on the Lord. Okay? First, you see that David says, wait on the Lord. Be patient for him. All right? Then he comes down, Psalm 40, later in his life. He says this. He's testifying. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. All right? So we understand this, that God has all eternity in his hand, and God's not in a hurry. You may be in a hurry, but God's not in a hurry. Okay, some people do this, it's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. But they say, well, I prayed that prayer one time. And since I prayed that prayer one time and God did not answer, then I'm not going to pray it again. Well, that's to your bad. That's not to God's bad. Again, let me remind you, where the Bible says to ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's in a perpetual state of being, which means this. It's forever asking. It's in the presence. So I ask and 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 ask. What if God in heaven looks at you and says, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to answer your prayer. And all you had to do was, listen to me now. All you had to do is ask it one more time. All you had to do is ask it one more time. But you didn't ask one more time. Therefore, I'm not going to answer. See, it's in that perpetual state of being. It means this. It means I ask and 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 ask. I never got tired of asking God to save mom and daddy. I never got tired of that. I never got tired of pleading and begging. Never did. Not one time. I never got tired of praying and asking God to save my three brothers. Never did. Not one time did I ever get tired of it. Not one time did I ever regret a tear that I shed. Not one time. Oh, not one time. Not one time did I ever get tired of saying, God, show me your will. Show me your will. I'm doing the best I can to serve you right now, but I want to continue. Now show me. You make it clear. I never got tired of asking that. Never one time. When I prayed for a wife, I never got tired of asking God. I prayed for those cars. Don't forget, you know my story. I'll not rehearse it. But you get what you ask for. So I never got tired of going down that list and saying, dear God, I'd like to have a wife, and this is what I'm asking you for. And Sylvia fills that bill. Now, can I tell you this, okay? Wait on the Lord to answer your prayers. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Don't stop praying. Be patient. Every morning when I get up, I pray for my dear wife. I pray for my children. I pray for their spouses. I pray for their grandkids. I never fail. Never fail. Always doing it. Always doing it. Certain days of the week, I have our membership divided up into four, and so I pray for you every single week of the world. When you have trouble, and I know about your trouble, then I pray for you more because I know that you have trouble in your life, all right? But there's not a week goes by I don't call your name out. There's not one week. There's not one week. You say, well, you only call my name out once a week? Well, when you have trouble, though, I call it out more than that. It just depends, and really depends on how big the trouble is. You say, I want to get prayed for more, all right? Then you go through trouble more. All right, but I'm saying this. I'm saying you wait on the Lord to answer your prayers. Be patient. Just be patient. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. It's not a race. It's not a race. You don't need to feel like you need to cross the finish line first. You be patient. Okay? If you were to, you'll find this several places. You'll find it in this Bible here. I have a thing here. It's called Pray for God's Power. I pray for that every day. It's taped in my Bible. It's taped in all my Bibles. And then pray for God's wisdom. Pray for God's wisdom. If you go into my private bathroom that's there adjacent to my wife's office and my office, we share that there. You'll look on the mirror. Same thing. Pray for God's power. Pray for God's wisdom. Why? I need both to be able to be the pastor, the shepherd that you need in your life. Okay, now I'm saying this. What do you do? Here's what you do. You wait on the Lord, and you pray, and you be patient now as God answers your prayer. Then lastly, I'll give you this. Be patient with others, okay? With others. with others. Be patient. With others, be patient. Well, I wish my kids would get that lesson. Okay, I got it. You might have to be patient with them a little bit. Okay, but and keep training them. Keep teaching them over and over again. I cannot begin to tell you how many times we said to our little kids, would you like some of that? They'd say, yeah. We said, oh, no. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Repetitive over and over again. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We traveled on the roads of evangelism for many years. And people would say, well, how'd you get your kids to have such good manners? But we said, consistency. Over and over again. Consistency. Don't run in church. No, no, no. Don't run in church. You look at adults in their eyes when they talk. I mean, we taught them manners all the way through. You sit up straight. You sit up straight. You pay good attention. You pay good attention. We taught them just all sorts of things, okay? And to their mother's credit, they turned out quite well. Now, may I say this, okay? Without others, be patient. Be patient with others. Be patient. Be patient without others. That'd be easy to be patient. You say, I'm a patient man. I don't have any friends, but I'm patient. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, now it says, we exhort you, brethren. It says, warn them that are unruly. He says, comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. So be patient toward all men. Oh, you say, but so-and-so is a rascal. Well, he was a rascal before you came along. He'll be a rascal when you leave. But while he's in your presence, be patient with him. Oh, but so-and-so gets under my skin. That's not true. That's just a statement. Nobody gets under your skin. Only you can fit under your skin. Unless you let somebody try to get under your skin. And I know what you mean. But can I say this? Be patient. Be patient. Instead of quickly crucifying someone, be patient. Be patient. You know, everybody... Oh, you ready? Don't get mad at me, but here it is. Everybody deserves the grace that you want extended to you. That's a good statement. Everybody deserves the grace that you want extended to you. So while you're saying, I need more grace, then you extend more grace. By the way, don't try and make everybody be like you. Huh. If everybody be like you, it'd be a born world. We'd all be robots. We all walk the same, talk the same, act the same. Huh. How terrible. Look the same. Okay? Now, can I say this? Don't quickly crucify someone. You be patient with them. You give them grace. Give them grace to grow. Just because they're not making it through a trial this time doesn't mean that they'll fail the test and not make it through it the next time. You be patient with people. Be patient with your kids. Listen to me, kids. Be patient with your parents. You say, well, my parents, you know, they should know more than me. They do, but they're just letting you think that they don't because they're trying to give you some confidence. They're trying to push you out of the nest little by little instead of out of the plane without a parachute. They're trying to edge you a little bit. They're trying to teach you responsibility. All right? And so instead of being quick to crucify someone, well, you be patient with them. Not everybody grows at the same rate. Have you noticed that? I'm talking about Christian growth now. Everybody grows at the same... Well, I wish that so-and-so, they'd get good, strong standards. Well, you've had yours for how long? They've only been in church for how long? You be patient. You be patient. Well, I wish that so-and-so would learn the grace of forgiving. Yeah, and how long have you been practicing that? Well, I wish that so-and-so would learn to pray. Every time they pray with me, oh, it just disgusts me. They just don't say it right. Well, they might deserve a friend that could help them say it right. Be patient. I got a brother. Another brother saying this. He always takes my shoes. They're my shoes. All right, well, be patient with them a little bit. Tie the shoestrings together as you are. No, I'm just kidding. Be patient. Just be patient. Okay? Learn to be patient with people that's around you. Learn to be patient. You know, when you're training somebody to do something, you have to give them room to grow. You have to. You just have to. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to come up short. The key of a leader training somebody else to become a leader is to give them responsibility, back off a little bit, let them carry the responsibility. Then if they need you, you walk up beside them and say, okay, let me help you with this. Let me show you maybe a better way to be able to do this. Let me give you an idea that might be more effective. Hello? All right? And so what do? You be patient with people. Be patient with other people. And if you're having trouble, here it is. If you're having trouble with being patient with people, look for somebody that's patient. Look for somebody that's patient. And go up to them and say, hey, could you show me some things about being patient? It seems to me that, you're not on edge when it comes to making decisions and big decisions and stuff like that. And I need to learn how not to do that. You know, I see that you're patient with your children, and I'm not. I'm just not. I it just puts me on edge that these children I have, they just put me on edge. Okay, wait a minute. That's not saying that you're completely bad. Just saying you got some room to grow. So what do? You get with somebody that's patient with their kids. Say, hey, give me some Bible principles. Show me some things about how to be patient with my children. In relationships, that person's coming to you asking advice. Take your time. Show them some things. Be patient with them. Help them to walk the right direction. You'll find out that patient people make the best decisions. You will. You'll find out that patient people keep the most friends. You'll find out that patient people will probably be patient with you. And so learn to be patient with people as you go along. Now, Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for a simple Bible study.